Good morning. John Gross with JDG Muir Hydronic Specialties. Welcoming everyone to our U.S. Boiler Alta presentation, presented by our Western Regional Manager, Bryce Malone. Bryce, would you take it from here?
You bet. Thank you, John. Good morning, everybody. I appreciate you getting up and taking the time to spend this morning with us to go over the new Alta platform that U.S. Boiler recently launched. So what I want to do today with this presentation is kind of share with everybody what is different about this boiler, right? Boilers do one thing, they heat water fast, and the Alta absolutely falls into that category. We're doing things that other manufacturers are not currently doing. Some have tried, they've made some attempts at some of these technologies. Others have tried and have just abandoned them because it's a very difficult technology when I'm speaking about gas adaptive, which is one element that I'll talk about today. But just in general, some of the features that this boiler has are definitely different from what the market is selling today. And so many manufacturers won't even talk about these things. And that's one of the things I want to bring up are these functions, these serviceabilities that other manufacturers just don't talk about, and they really do make a difference for the contractors. And so what is the Alta platform, right? So the Alta is a new line of condensing boilers, both heat only and combi units. What is the Alta? And we're going to dive into these aspects of this boiler deeper as we go through the presentation, but I like to kind of set the tone with why is this boiler different from what else is in the marketplace. And so first of all, it's a wall-mounted heating boiler or combination unit. This is a water tube style heat exchanger. And let me talk about water tube just for a minute. There's two heat exchangers that are used in the boiler market. There's water tube and there's fire tube. And everybody uses fire tube. We use fire tube. Lochinvar uses fire tube. Triangle Tube uses fire tube. NTI uses fire tube. IBC uses fire tube. You name the brand, and they use fire tube. That fire tube heat exchanger is produced by a manufacturer called AIC. The difference between water tube and fire tube are actually pretty significant. Water tube and fire tube differ in the fact that water tube is a singular piece of steel that has no welds, and it's easily serviceable. Same level of efficiencies, 95% AI is the level of efficiency for a heat exchanger, whether it's fire tube or it's water tube. But where do they differ? Well, when you look at globally, there's over 8 million water tube heat exchangers sold in the global marketplace. When you look at the fire tube heat exchanger, there's only about less, there's just less than 200,000 fire tube heat exchangers that are sold globally. Actually, about 175 of those are sold in North America. We are by far the largest user of fire tube heat exchangers globally. And yet, some ask, well, why is that? And it really dates back to the early 2000s when other manufacturers of water tube heat exchangers really just put a poor product in place. One was the waterways were too narrow. That was one of the biggest challenges. And the second one was the use of glycol in systems that weren't properly used. And so you had a lot of failures. And so a lot of contractors decided to turn the page and go to fire tube, thinking that it has to be better than what they were using on the water tube side. Obviously, since 2005, 2006, when those issues were happening, a lot of things have changed. There's manufacturers like Cermeta, who is the largest manufacturer of water tube heat exchangers in the world, who supplies us and other manufacturers as well. But the reason that there's two real key differences in water tube and fire tube. One is serviceability. You can clean a water tube heat exchanger in about 45 minutes. To properly and thoroughly clean a fire tube, that's about a 4-hour job if you're good at it and you know what you're doing. The second is the single largest mode of failure with a fire tube heat exchanger. And keep in mind, my history is I come from another manufacturer who produces only fire tube, so I know this information probably more so than most. But the single largest reason a fire tube heat exchanger fails is because of a failed weld. There's over 100 welds in a fire tube heat exchanger, whereas with a water tube, there are no welds. So why do they fail? Well, for a couple of different reasons. If you've got bad water, the water calcifies, the mineral deposits build up on these welds. They create soft spots, they create hot spots, and those welds will tend to fail over time once they get clogged up. When a heat exchanger gets clogged up, they overpressurize. When they overpressurize, they cause these welds to, again, failed because of the weak spot of the heat exchanger. And this is something that happens because they are so difficult to clean, and contractors are less apt to cleaning these heat exchangers because of how difficult they are. So just some food for thought there, guys, on the difference between a water tube and a fire tube. The sizes, as we mentioned, there's heat only and there's combi units. We've got 120 heat only, 150 heat only, and 180 heat only. And then our combination units are 136s and a 200,000 BTU combi unit. Mentioned earlier, they're all 95% AFUE, up to 10%, and up to 10 to 1 turndown ratio. All of the connections are on the bottom, so water and gas. We also do include two extra relays. That is something to pay attention to. Not everybody does that. And I'll talk a little bit about why that matters in a bit. Mechanical, when we talk about the fast open service access, there's literally six screws that you need to remove to pull off not only the front cover, which is pretty common with most every other boiler manufacturer, but you can actually take the sides of the boiler off. And I'll show you some pictures later on of what that means and how easy it is to service to access this boiler. Adaptive keypad and our control is adaptive keypad LCD diagnostics, and we'll talk a bit more about that here in a minute. Combustion, I'm not even going to mention it now because the next few slides really cover this in detail. Same with the sensorless reset, which we are going to cover in detail, because these are two areas that really do differentiate the Alta platform from not only other U.S. boiler products, but other products in the same field. So we'll talk about that here in a minute. Domestic hot water, it's hydrodynamics, right? A 200,000 BTU boiler with certain level of 70 degree rise or 77 degree rise or 80 degree rise, they're all going to be the same because we all basically use the same size brazed plate heat exchanger. So we're going to get about anywhere between 4.5 to 5 gallons a minute, depending upon what your incoming water and what that looks like. Primary, secondary, this is something that's pretty important when piping a boiler. It's most boiler manufacturers recommend that you put them in there. If you're doing a single zone, you don't necessarily need a primary, secondary, but if you're doing any sort of multiple zone systems, it's really required to do it to properly have that boiler getting up to temperature and getting the right temperature to each zone. It's necessary. So we include the primary, secondary on our combi units. It's an optional on the heating side only, and something you can buy as a separate unit. But we'll talk about that again here in a minute. And then the vents, universal 2-inch, top mini and top 2 and 3 inch on the for the different size boilers. So we call it no touch adaptive combustion. And why this is important is the Alta uses an electronic gas valve. We are no longer using a pneumatic gas valve, which other manufacturers use, us included, our Aspen platform, our Alpine platform. They use these pneumatic gas valves. Every other manufacturer, Lochinver, Triangle Tube, MTI, IBC, Navien, they all use pneumatic gas valves. And with that, there are inherent problems. And I'm sure many of you have experiences for yourself, one being setting up combustion on a boiler once you've installed it. And I can tell you, most every boiler that gets installed is going to come in lean. So you've got to richen it up at the point of installation. If you don't have a combustion analyzer, the tool to do that and to actually to dial in your combustion, then you're blindly guessing. And this is when guys will take gas valves out of tolerance, and they'll squeak, they'll squeal, they'll make actually a situation that was fairly easy to remedy, make it worse because they take a gas valve completely out of adjustment. So I'm sure many of you have experienced noisy boilers, you've experienced issues with combustion, and what we've done with the no-touch adaptive combustion is we've solved that problem. So how have we done it? So when you look at the gas valve, the blower assembly, or our gas train assembly, one of the things you'll find is it's electronic components, right? So we've removed the pneumatic component altogether. And there are no sensors. There's other manufacturers that have tried to do no-touch or gas adaptive, some have called it, with sensors, meaning they've used MAP sensors, which is a mass airflow sensor. You guys have those in your cars, and you probably have seen your check engine light come on, and you go to the auto parts store. Some of us may even have our own reader at home, and it tells you got code 0021. It's a mass airflow sensor. And you're like, dang, I just changed that thing 30,000 miles ago. I'm doing it again. And that's not uncommon. Especially with the way the fuel burns today and direct injection and things like that. The problem is these sensors are very sensitive, and they're very sensitive in this type of application as well. They're sensitive to debris. They're sensitive to vibration. And so they will fail, and they'll give you poor readings on your combustion. So we do not use sensors. We actually read the flame ionization current through the flame. We actually are sending electrical currents through the flame directly in the burner chamber, and we're reading what's happening through the flame. And why that's important is because what we're reading is the relationship between the air and the fuel as it happens through flame ionization through the flame. So we're reading through the flame what our ionization current is doing. And then we also read the flame rectification signal to actually confirm what we are reading. So we're not only getting a reading, but we're confirming the changes that we're making by either richening up the system, or we might be leaning it out. So the optimal operation is 1.3, as you see here. So in a situation where we might be rich, where we might be less than one, immediately what happens is the gas valve and the blower are actually changing instantaneously to modify the system to keep us at this 1.3. Basically, reading that flame sensor and reading through the ionization current, we're able to know if we're lean or if we're rich. So in an instance where we are on the rich side, then we will increase the control valve, increases the fuel valve position to allow more fuel into the system. And this is all happening instantaneously. You won't see it. You may hear it if you get real close to the boiler, you may hear the electric gas valve open. Same thing, it takes us right back to the optimal operation. And this is happening constantly, whether I'm on LP, whether I'm on natural gas. By reading what's happening at the flame in the burner chamber, we are actually able to do these self-correct movements based on fuel variation, component wear, changes in air pressure, temperature changes. The system is automatically adapting to whatever instances is happening throughout the boiler at the flame. So whether you've got, if the flame ionization goes less than 1.3, the control valve decreases the fuel valve position, so we're letting less fuel in. And again, these are all different scenarios that are happening as the boiler is in operation constantly. You're not having to monitor. You're not having to make adjustments. This is all happening at the boiler constantly as the boiler is operating. We're always targeting that 1.3 fuel air ratio, and it takes everything into account. And again, it's not something you, the contractor, has to do anything about. This happens automatically once the boiler is fired up. So this is our no-touch, constant calibration, gas adaptive, gas valve, gas train assembly. We're targeting that 1.3. And, you know, as long as we stay there, regardless of what the air is doing, whether the water column, let's say we've got nine inches of water column coming in, and that drops to 4 on natural gas, we can actually operate down to 2.5 on the water column, inch water column, 2.5 inches on the natural gas, and 8 inches on LP, which is far bigger and far greater than most of our competitors. So LP conversions, right? This has been a long known issue with any manufacturer, because you have to modify the gas train in some capacity, whether you change out a Venturi, whether you change the orifice. It can be up to, you know, anywhere up to an hour long to change a boiler from natural gas to LP. With the Alta, you literally take an Allen wrench and you turn a switch 90 degrees with a 2.5 millimeter hex wrench, and you set the fuel gas, and then you set the fuel gas section at the display itself. So you go from either telling it natural gas, which is the default from the factory, or if you need to modify it, you turn the switch 90 degrees. So the switch is located here. You turn it 90 degrees. Now you're in LP, and you go to the gas, you go to the display, which is here, and you tell it that you're no longer using natural gas. You're now using LP. So this change literally takes less than 60 seconds, and there is no gas train modification required. So this is a huge advantage over any other brand out there. And if you have LP, and if you're doing a lot of LP installations, this is going to save you a lot of time and a lot of headache. So, you know, keep these types of things with the gas adaptive and the LP conversions to understand there is something different in what US Boiler is producing in this Alta platform. So this is not only going to save you money, but there's just no parts. So there's no material cost whatsoever associated with making this conversion. So, you know, you're doing this in sub 5 minutes. And like I said, I've done it a few occasions and it's less than 60 seconds, honestly. Once you know where the little lever is on the right side of the boiler, it's very easy to do and to switch within the system. So one other key aspect of the platform that is different is sensorless reset. I'm sure most of you, if not all of you, have experience with outdoor reset, right? What does outdoor reset tell my boiler? Well, it tells my boiler that it's cold outside, which tells my boiler that it's going to run at higher temperatures to account for the colder temperatures outside. That's really what outdoor reset tells the boiler. And then we hope that the sensor got run to the north side of the building and it's run properly and it's set up. Some guys just run it outside and call it good. There is actually, I'm sure most of you know this, that you want to put it on the north side of the building, which would be the coldest part of the building. And that's why we recommend you doing that so that you can actually get the actual coldest temperatures that your boiler is going to see and by doing it that way. So what is sensorless reset? So sensorless reset, it evaluates the changing heat load and loss on the boiler and the home. And it adjusts the boiler firing rate accordingly. And water temperature to really make sure that the boiler is running as efficient as it can without then short cycling. And I'm sure, again, most of you know, short cycling is a death sentence for boilers. The constant on, off is what kills boilers. So it sounds like outdoor reset because it really in essence is, but what we are doing with sensorless reset is we're assessing the trends. We're averaging the firing rates. There is no installation, so you don't have to worry about mounting a sensor or wiring. There's two settings in the system that you have to adjust. One is the central heat set point and then your minimum water temperature. So you're not adjusting four like you do on outdoor reset. And we still do maintain the boost feature. So what is the boost feature? It's basically every 20 minutes we look at the boiler and it says, hey, your average firing rate, you're on the high side of the average firing rate. So I'm going to go ahead and increase your temperature 20 degrees every 20 minutes. It actually looks at that and says, hey, okay, if I'm at 140, but you've been running at the high end of the average firing rate, I'm going to bump you to 160 degrees. And then it looks at it again, 20 minutes later, says, oh, you're still right there. So I'm going to run you to 180. So that's what the boost feature allows for the boiler to do. This is what a typical outdoor reset curve looks like, right? You've got your hot water set point, you've got your air outdoor temperature, and you can see where your default water temperature would be. So call it 130 degrees. And this is what your typical curve for outdoor reset looks like, right? The warmer it gets outside, then the lower the firing rate of the boiler. The colder it gets, the higher the firing rate the boiler's going to get. So with sensorless reset, we targeted a 5% band. We said, hey, if we can be within 5% of the outdoor reset and the performance results of an outdoor reset sensor-based outdoor reset boiler, we felt that was successful. This is what the new sensorless reset curve looks like. So it's almost identical to the outdoor reset. So we're looking at hot water set point and we're looking at high heat input. So the average firing rate. So we're looking at firing rate versus outdoor temperature. So if you look at those two, you can see the curve is almost identical, okay? So we targeted that 5% band. So you can see what the target was. And if you look at this, the rate-based or active reset is the purple and the sensor base, which is the blue line, and outdoor temperature is down at the bottom. So you can see as it got warmer, obviously you can see how the boiler fires as it got colder. You can see where the boiler temperature and the firing rates were. We targeted 5%. We actually got within 2% consistently of outdoor reset versus sensorless reset. So this was a home run because we actually got better than we thought we were going to get. And this gives you the option now to, by default, sensorless reset is on, so you don't even have to do anything. If you do have the need, maybe you've got an inspector who he demands that you have outdoor reset on the boiler. You can easily attach a outdoor reset sensor. There's outputs for that, and you just go into the system, and you tell the system that it's no longer sensorless if you are actually using an outdoor reset. So you have the option to do both. The default is sensorless, which again, as you can see here, proves to be as effective as outdoor reset, but it saves you a lot of time and you're not having to worry about building those curves yourself. So gas adaptive, LP conversion, and you've got the new sensorless reset. And then you really look at the serviceability of the boiler. There's four key functions right there that we've talked about already that really do set this boiler apart. And these, you talk about, well, you've got some bells and some whistles, right? This was actually contractor-based feedback that helped us build this boiler by us understanding the challenges that the guys that are out there putting these boilers in face every day. And if there was a way to solve these issues and help put you know, time back on the clock and put more money in their pocket, that they would have an active interest in moving, using this boiler. And that's what we delivered. And we've got over 1,300 of these boilers that we, the 136 comm unit, which was the first boiler that we installed, or that I'm sorry, that we didn't install, that we started making and shipping. And we shipped those for about 18 months, and we studied every one of those boilers, and we've had an extraordinarily low rate of issues. And I think it goes to the reliable nature of this boiler and the components that we're using, because again, we're no longer using pneumatics. We're using electronics and we're using electric devices to control the boiler's performance. And it's really performed better than we actually had hoped. The other nice piece of these component changes is the cost of parts. So let's just say, you know, 5 years you're into it and a gas valve was to fail. The gas valves, the blower assemblies, things like that are actually a third less the cost of their pneumatic counterparts. So you will save some money as well on component replacement as the boiler does age, and you wind up having to do just some maintenance repair on boilers over time. So this is a closer look at the heat exchanger itself, right? This is an isothermic heat exchanger. It's made by Cermeta, and Cermeta is the number one residential heat exchanger manufacturer in the world. We covered earlier the difference between water tube and fire tube. So I'm not going to go into, that any further than we already talked about. You know, the new burner door, you're not going to worry about burning your hand by touching that assembly, which is this assembly here. You've got four screws, 1, 2, 3, 4. Remove those and you have full access to the heat exchanger itself. No longer do you need a sight glass. You know, there's 10 million of this particular heat exchanger that are installed globally. So that should give you a sense of comfort knowing that there's a lot of these heat exchangers that are out there in full service today and working as they should. You know, this is stainless steel, weldless, water tube, avoids corrosion as a result of that. And again, kind of the access to these heat exchangers, which is far better than that of a fire tube counterpart. We also use a new combined igniter flame sensor, where I'm sure most of you are familiar with. Most manufacturers use these separately, including us on other platforms in our portfolio. But here you've got a combined igniter and flame sensor. This also helps with the gas adaptive or adaptive, you know, the adaptive technology for the combustion. So these types of technologies all play a role in our ability to achieve the gas adaptive technology as well. So what do you get, right? This is always an important thing. And I want to point this out because it is important. And it is another point of differentiation from us to the competitors, right? So obviously you get the boiler, but within the parts box, which is what we want to talk about here on the combi side in particular, is you get the combi, you get the primary, secondary, you get the domestic hot water connection. So you get a lot of components that other manufacturers don't provide with the price of the boiler. So Navien, for example, right? Lachenberg, Triangle Tube, they don't include the header in the price of the combi that you buy. So when you buy the boiler, you buy it an Alta, that $200, $250, $300, depending on which manufacturer you're buying, is included with the price of the boiler. So some say, oh, okay, so I can buy your boiler for, you know, X, and I can buy their boiler for X, and, you know, maybe they're $100 less than us, whatever. You know, I've had those scenarios. And I go, well, do they include the header? They go, oh, no, they don't. Do they include the domestic hot water connection? No, they don't. So when you look at it and you actually understand what is in the box and what is included with the price of our boiler, and you ask that question of whomever else you might be buying or the supplier you might be getting them from, then you come to find out that we're actually a couple hundred dollars less than that of the competitive product. And you're getting a far superior product than what the competitor is offering. And that's something that I think is important to note is we've got capabilities with this boiler and technologies with this boiler that, you know, you could probably charge a high premium price for, but we didn't feel the need to do that because of the components, the cost of components, like I mentioned earlier, being a third or less of that of their pneumatic counterparts. And, you know, the boilers, you know, we make a lot of boilers in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. We've been able to absorb a lot of costs that other manufacturers don't necessarily get an opportunity to do. And so because of that, we're actually able to offer a very, very competitively priced boiler by offering, but also offering, I think, best in class, best in industry technologies. And give a great price for you to be able to get those and acquire them. This is what the fast pipe looks like. That's the, I guess, the trade name, if you want to call it that. It's the Alta Fast Pipe. So you can pro press these, but this is what it looks like. It comes with the triticator, comes in the box. So if you go back, you can see it here. It's actually included in the miscellaneous parts carton that comes at the bottom of the boiler, as all of these parts do, but it's actually, it sits inside that box. And so this is what it looks like physically. It's a nice piece. It's all copper made in Lancaster where the boilers are put together. So then we go through the family of products, right? So you've got the two combination units and we've got three heat only. And one thing I'm going to point out here, and I try to bring this up because I think everybody gets hung up on the word combination unit and then heat only, right? So a combination unit is really a heat only boiler with the capability of an added domestic raised plate heat exchanger to do domestic hot water, right? But it's been built originally as a heat only boiler. What's the difference? Well, if you need a 150,000 heat only boiler, I would buy an Alta 200C because it uses that 150 heat exchanger. I now have the boiler with two advantages. One, it's going to come with the primary secondary, so I don't have to buy that separately. And two, it's got the pump already installed in the boiler. Whereas with the heat only, you get the pump comes with the boiler. It's just not installed. It comes in a box in the boiler, and you then install that in your system. But it doesn't come with a manifold. So you have to buy the heat only manifold, whether you buy ours or you buy something else or you build your own. It's something that you'd have to do. So keep in mind when you are looking at combination units versus heat onlys, it is okay and it's to put a combination unit into an application where you only use the heat only side of the boiler and you cap off the combi side. And maybe one day the homeowner would choose to use the combination unit because maybe right now they've got a 50 gallon water heater. It works fine. They just had it installed a couple of years ago. But, you know, maybe in 5 years, they're like, you know what? We had a kid. We need more capacity. Let's just shut down the water heater. And now we can tie into the combi side of our boiler to give us the domestic hot water that we now need. So there's reasons and rationale behind using combi units as heat onlys, but obviously using them as dedicated combination units is what they're built for. But it's okay. And frankly, it's a smart choice to use a combination unit in a heat only application because of the included components that you get with the combination. So just something for you guys to think about and, you know, keep in the back of your mind, again, making life easier for yourselves and to keep the cost down, to put more money in your pocket. So just some strategies to think about as you go through it. But you can see the five units that are available today. These are all built in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, and they are shipping as we speak. So readily available. And right now we're about 4 week lead time on boilers. So, you know, these are readily available. They're there for you. And you know, feel free. John's got a decent inventory as we speak today. And I know he's got more on the way. So John supports these beautifully with parts, with boilers, and obviously technical knowledge. So, you know, John's a great resource for you guys as well as the boiler. Domestic hot water, right? This is always the thing you probably get the complaint about the most from a homeowner. It's not hot enough, fast enough. It takes forever for the water to get hot. And, you know, if you're not running recirculation, and most people, you know, they've got an existing home, they probably don't even know recirculation lines or what they are. They're just relying solely on, I have a boiler, the water's hot at the boiler. How come it takes so long for the water to get to my faucet, right? Well, nobody knows how long those runs are. But at the end of the day, when you turn the time on, time from demand to the burner, so we'll start there. Well, we'll actually go through a little bit of this, you know. So you look at domestic hot water rates, you can see we had three competitors that we went after, and these are all the big three that you can think of. You know, there's Navien up here, there's Lochinvar up here. So the biggest competitors we stacked ourselves against. Gallons per minute is pretty much, again, this is just hydrodynamics. You know, when you're producing X amount of BTUs, you're gonna get X amount of gallons per minute based on flow rates at the delta, right? 77 degree rise. Now, in some instances, you can see, you know, the 200, these are all 200s, right? So you got 200 at 4.7, here's a 200 at 4.5, 155 at 3.2, 181 at 4.2. There is one dynamic that does play a role in this component, and it is the size of the braze plate. And so in this instance here, this 155, it's an IBC product. They use a very small braze plate, so they don't get as much flow because they use a small brazed plate heat exchanger. So that's why they're limited at 3.2 at 155,000 BTU, whereas we're at 136 and we're at 3.4 because we use a much, much bigger brazed plate to be able to deliver more gallons per minute with a smaller BTU output of 136 versus 155. But these others, you know, our 200 versus a 197, you can see this is virtually, it's the same size brazed plate. So you get the same level of gallons per minute. This is an important one. And I call this kind of a table stake because it's not really unique in anybody, but time from demand to burner on, we're at 10 seconds, 8 seconds, 10 seconds, 5 seconds. So you're basically going from the time you turn that burner on, you're at the demanded temperature. This is the one that matters to homeowners. This is the one that's going to limit the calls you get, which is the time from demand, 120 degrees, starting at anywhere between 60 and 80 degrees with a cold boiler. How can I get from 60 to 80 to 120? We do it in less than 35 seconds. So you can see others are in the 60 second, the 55 second, and the 37 seconds, right? So we're far better than competitor A and B, and we're better than competitor C, but these guys, obviously they get it, right? These guys, you can probably figure out who this is without me saying, but they do a good job, but we're better than everybody. And this is an important aspect to think about when you're designing a system for your homeowners, because you know that this is going to be the one area, because the expectation for whatever reason with homeowners is, well, I have this heat on demand piece of equipment, whether it's a tankless water heater or whether it's a combination unit, the expectation is, well, I should get hot water instantaneously. And we all know that's not true because you've got water in lines, and without a recirculation line, that water cools down and that's going to purge from the line first. And some homeowners get it. Others will just complain about it because they like it. So we've addressed that with one way, which is the instantaneous domestic hot water response with an integrated domestic hot water recirculation, which you can actually now control from our boiler. So other boilers you need to have, you can't control necessarily recirculation from the boiler. Yeah, you can run recirculation with other combination units, but you can't control the recirculation with the boiler. So in our case, you can, the default is off, right? No recirculation is going to be run. But if you do want to run a recirculation line, this assumes you've added the pumps, you've done the electrical work, and you've piped it the right way for the recirculation itself. But now you can actually go to the boiler and turn our system from off to on, which is comfort mode. And you wire a sensor to the header, and then you turn the pump wire to auxiliary pump terminal, and you can now control your domestic hot water recirculation from the boiler. So no longer do you have to have an external control to do that. You can run your recirc right from the boiler, which then is going to make this time to demand and getting water to the faucets actually even better than 31 seconds. So it's another feature that's nice, that's unique to the Alta platform. And being able to control a recirculation directly from the boiler is definitely an advantage, and something that I'm sure many of you have experienced in the past. And this will give you an opportunity to do recirculation without having to run an external controller. So you look at the boilers, right? They're the same height, and they're the same, the difference is the depth, right? So if you look at these units here, this is a 136 stacked next to a 200. Same height, difference is the depth. Bigger heat exchanger, so it calls for more depth on the 200. So when you're physically looking at them, it's why we actually have wholesalers buy these in segments of four, because four of them can fit on a pallet and limit the type of any damage that might happen in shipment. And I'm sure you guys, I know John's experiences, coming from Lancaster, Pennsylvania to the West Coast, unfortunately they ride in the back of trucks and damage can happen. We've done a better job, I think, of packaging these, and by requiring them to be ordered in fours has definitely helped. But you can kind of see the difference in sizes of these boilers. So looking at again, this is just a different view of the boiler itself. You can see the depth. This kind of gives you better perspective, so you understand what you're dealing with when you are installing either one of the 120, which is the heat only boiler in this case, the 200. Again, the 120 is the same size as the 136. This is, believe it or not, this is the biggest benefit that contractors voiced when they saw this unit, was the serviceability. So you can see here the front of the boiler has been taken off, and we've only taken off one of the sides, but you can actually remove the other side of this boiler. There are a total of six screws that hold the boiler the sides and the cover of the boiler on. So there's six screws with the, this is the removal of four. So we've removed four in this instance, and you can see how accessible the boiler is. You can literally get into every aspect of this boiler with six screws. And so serviceability, access to components is extraordinary on this boiler. And for those of you guys that are doing a lot of service work on boilers, we'll really learn to appreciate how easy it is to access the different components of the boiler. And in fact, for whether it's maintenance, whether it's, 10 years down the road, you got to replace a gas valve, you got to replace a sensor, something along those lines, easy to access. So we've also got smarter displays. So we're showing you a phone tool. It's a little early, but we will have this new phone app in May. I believe it's the middle of May. We'll have, so we'll just call it June. We'll just, for the sake of it, for the timing of things, we'll just call it June. And what this app does, it is different from what other phone apps you probably use, because others have relied on Honeywell or Resideo, the manufacturer of the controls and the gas valves, to also develop their app. And we actually use a third-party app developer for the Alta platform because we wanted to give our contractors more tools than just simply changing settings for the boiler, right? So what you get here with this app is, let's say you've got your boiler is installed, you're ready to start programming. You could actually be sitting in your truck as long as you're connected to Wi-Fi. This is in a lab, so this is a router. That's what this is. But so you're in your lab, you're in your truck, and you're sitting at your boiler. You can choose to do one of two things. If you're sitting in the boiler, you can certainly go in and program the boiler. You can all see this is it's not a massive display. It's definitely usable. It's about 4 inches wide by about two inches high. Or you can sit in your truck on your phone, make all of the setting changes here on your app, which then transfer to the phone, to the boiler itself. We'll also be able to, the second version of the software will allow us to remotely monitor. And so if you have a troublesome boiler and you can't figure it out, we can actually dial into the boiler as long as we're connected to Wi-Fi of some sort and look at the readings of the boiler. And we'll actually be able to make setting changes once we come out with version two of the software tool, the app tool, to the boiler to assist our field contractors in finding what's happening with the boiler and why maybe they're having an issue. But also all of the controls and all of the kind of the quick start guide sits right here on the boiler itself. So very easy to access information, what changes, what settings you need to make in combination with this new phone tool, this new app, which will be launched in, it'll be launched in May, but like I said, it probably won't start shipping until with the Wi-Fi dongle until June. So another area of differentiation, another contractor friendly device to help you guys do your job, which is get in and out of that job site as fast as you can and put more money in your pocket. So a lot of these things that we've designed have been done to do just that. So we've got the actual control board, which is here. This is the display. This is where the control board is. This actually folds down, as you can see here. We used to have a cable. The first versions of this board, there was a cable attached here and it attached to this little piece right there. We've actually since changed this. So there's actually a mechanical device now where you can lift the display itself and then it drops it down and you pull it back up and just drop it back into place. So no longer are there cables that kind of get in the way. They just got in the way. And so the engineering department looked at it and said, hey, how can we make that better? And so they came up with a new drop-down mechanism to give you access to the boiler itself. 2-inch top connections, you can see here. And this is an important thing because how these are mounted to the boiler is, especially today with combustion and issues with boilers that have combustible issues where they do hard starts, hard light offs. And there's been some boiler manufacturers that have had these actually pop off the boiler and cause other issues with whether it be CO2 or something like that leaking in the home and having to be shut down. So these are fixed mechanically, so you don't have the issues of these potentially coming apart. But just the universal connection to adapters here makes it easy for you to plumb that and pipe it as soon as you get it in and vent it properly. Vent lengths, this is obviously something that's important. And, it's 2 inches, it's 70 foot of equivalent length. And then on the 3-inch, 135 feet. And, I would tell a guy, I always tell, this is important. When you look at troubleshooting in the field, it's probably in the I'd say the top three issues that we ever hear about are due to venting issues. They're not properly vented. You've got, somebody tried to use existing venting, didn't bother to look to see if the venting was blocked, and there was some sort of blockage, or they've got this put into a corner, so you get a lot of flue gases that recirculate, or inside the actual room, there's they're bringing in bad combustion air because there's chemicals in where the boiler's at. Venting and air is probably the single biggest issue, and troubleshooting and boiler issues that we find, why they are burning up blower fans. I had one recently that was, they kept burning through fans and they couldn't figure out why, and finally got pictures of the boiler room, and they had pool chlorine stored in the boiler room. And so it was circulating the chlorine through the boiler itself. And cause they were taking room from inside, they were taking air from inside the room, and it was just tearing up the boiler. So there's things that, not necessarily we do intentionally, but we just maybe oversee and we don't look at closely enough to understand how best to vent these boilers. But you always want to pay particular attention to how you're venting. These venting configurations are in the manuals. I just always caution you, just make sure you're paying attention to that, because even if you're doing a retrofit, don't assume the guy before you did it right. Always look at it, put eyes on it. You guys know what you're doing, and just don't assume that the guy that did this job before did it right. So just be cognizant of that. For heating boilers, this is the accessory kit. So it's our heating only primary secondary. You can see a photo of it here. It's definitely nice. It's got everything that you need to do a primary secondary on a heat only boiler. And, John has access to these, and I believe he's got a few in inventory, but this is not included with the price. This is a separate price from the heat only boiler, but I will say this, and John led the charge on this. And so we're working on a new completely copper assembly, similar to what we do on the combi side, to likely include with the boiler. It's just something that I guess nobody was overly did their due diligence on the cost of these heat only manifolds. So we've done some things initially to get the cost back in line, but we are actually working on an alternative to this to include with the boiler, like we do on the combi side. So that will be coming soon, but we do have one available now. And it is a nice unit. It's just, I will tell you this, Webstone, who we get them from, Webstone's very proud of their valve. It's a premium product, but with that, it does work very, very well. We do have floor stands. So if you get into an instance where maybe you don't have a wall, or you'd rather not mount it to a wall, we do have this wall hung floor stand accessory. It's very, very, very well priced. It's not a bank breaker. And so if you do find yourself in a situation where you don't want to hang it on a wall and you are looking for an alternative, we do have these floor stands, and they're actually very robust and very nice, very well built. They are powder coated blue, so they look as you see it here. We do have available the service parts kits. These are great because they have everything that from a sensor perspective, gasket perspective, that you're going to need for the boiler. We will be having a service pack kit, which will be coming out this summer, which will include the blowers and the gas valves and all the pumps and things like that. We'll actually have a secondary set of equipment. So if you do have boilers and you need the service parts kit that goes beyond just the sensors and the gaskets and the O-rings, and you're going to have that with this new kit. So this is what's available today, and we will have the new service pack kits by this summer. So kind of bringing everything home, right? So there's a few things just to kind of go back to touch a little bit on it. And these are really the differences that the Alta brings to the table. And, you try to talk about things that are different, right? Because everybody's boiler, we always like to think, oh, it is different. Mine's different. And where do most boiler manufacturers, truth be told, differentiate with their control packages? That's really the one area a boiler manufacturer can be different. Because again, if you're using an AIC heat exchanger, you're using the same gas valve, you're using the same blower assembly, you're using the same gas train. Most all the sensors are the same. So you really have only one way to differentiate your product from somebody else's. Other than looks, aesthetically, it's the controls. And so with the Alta, we aren't just relying on our controls to be different. We've got the fastest, open installation service access. You saw how easy it is to gain access to the boiler itself with the six screws to get complete access to the boiler. We talked about the no-touch combustion, right? So I no longer have to use an analyzer to set up my boiler. It's going to be done for me. So no combustion adjustments. I'm in and out of there much faster. I can leave confidently knowing that that gas adaptive combustion is going to be constantly monitoring their gas and adjusting accordingly, and I don't have to worry about it, nor am I going to get called back because I got a squeaky boiler. Sensorless reset, right? Again, another time saver. I'm getting the same benefit of outdoor reset without having to go through the hassles and time of installing an outdoor reset and a sensor and doing all the calculations and setting up the multiple different parameters within the boiler. LP conversion, I mean, doesn't get any easier, right? I flip a switch from LP or from natural gas, which is the default, to 90 degrees to LP, and voila, I can now operate this boiler in LP. And I tell the system, you know, instead of it being natural gas, I go into the display and say it's propane, and it makes the adjustment accordingly. Primary, secondary, like I said, with the combi units, it's included as well as the pump already piped into the system. Remember that, you know, you don't, just because it's a combi unit doesn't mean you have to use it as a combi. You can certainly use it as a heat only boiler, especially if you need 150,000 BTU heat only or 120,000 BTU heat only. And you want to have the pump already built in and you want to have the fast pipe come with the boiler for the same price. It's a great way to think of, you know, spending your money and putting more value into what you're installing for your customer. And then again, the fast start domestic hot water, right? You're not going to get those homeowners complaining that it's taking forever. I mean, I can't say you're not, but we're hopefully mitigating that because we do get water fast so quickly. And then again, if you do want to running recirculation, you can integrate that directly to the Alta boiler and not have to use an ancillary control to do that. We've got product data sheets. These are downloadable from our website. I'm sure John has hand paper brochures as well. So for those of you that might want a bit more information or just to kind of remind yourselves what we talked about here, it's all covered. A lot of it's covered in the brochure itself. All of our boilers also include come with the quick start guide. These are actually really pretty nice. They're big. If those of you haven't bought a U.S. boiler product before, these are, I think, on a 10 by 18 sheet or 10 by 7. They're huge. And they come on hard cardboard, so they're actually nice. And they have all the tools that you need and all the little things that you need to get that boiler operational with a big, easy-to-read card. All of ours obviously come with boiler manuals in the box. You can also download these from our website, put them on your phone. Put them on an iPad if that's what you tend to operate from, instead of having to have a paper manual with you or carrying with you, or you know, these are always accessible on our website. So something to be aware of. So I left it right about, yeah, I wanted about 10 minutes left to see if there was any questions that the group might have. And we're right at about 10 minutes. So I'll open the floor to any questions that somebody might have and happy to answer anything that you guys might have for me.
I'd like to take the floor just here for a moment before we open up to everybody. I just want to say that what we got coming is the combi only, the combi units, not the heating boilers only coming in at the moment, just to start for the 200,000 combi. And it is a cleaner look because the pump is built inside. And so far, I even have a customer who speaks virtually no English install about six of these things, and he did communicate with me that it is the easiest boiler to install, and he's installed everything. And also just like to have the people who have joined us today to introduce themselves and then please proceed with questions. Thank you.
Thanks, John.
Or I'll call you out. Say, Bill, can you introduce yourself? Bill Malone. Okay. How about Brett? Go ahead.
Guys, no, it just looks like everybody might be muted. Okay. They might be talking, not realizing they're muted.
Okay. Yeah, you might have to unmute yourself. Although Bill's not muted.
Did I hear we have another Malone on the phone, though? Is that what I heard you say, John?
Yeah, this is Bill Malone.
Is this my long lost cousin or what? I mean, we got to see Bill. Come on, Bill.
He's not saying anything. So
he's not a Malone then. He's not a true Malone if he's not talking.
I see Pete there. Can you unmute yourself?
I think he's muted.
Yeah. All right. And then there's Rich Hoagland. So I'll start from the top. So that's Bill Malone's with Chris's HVAC down in Salinas. And then Peter Pinion with Peninsula Hydronics down in Monterey area. Rich, are you there? Fish Hoagland? You can unmute yourself. There you go.
John, can you hear me?
I can hear you.
John, good morning. How are you today?
Very good.
I've sat here and listened to this, and I mean, I love the product, and we've been trying to find the perfect spot to install one of them and give them a try, but I like the ease of installation and everything. That's my big thing, because how the techs are. They put these things in, and then all of a sudden they forget something, and they have to go back and make an adjustment or whatever. And this one, I like the fact that you can just put it in and kind of walk away from it, which is a great idea, great product.
Yeah, it's Richard, I'll tell you, it's I've worked in the boiler industry I've worked for another manufacturer. Prior to that, I was with Honeywell. I've installed a lot of boilers because I did a lot of boiler control installations when I was at Honeywell. And I will tell you, and I don't just say this because I work for U.S. Boiler. This is by far the easiest boiler I've ever installed. It's just once you've ran water to it, you've run gas, you've vented it, you fire this thing up, and the amount of time to set it up, I can tell you, it's probably less than 90 seconds, and you're out of it. And you don't have to worry about combustion. I mean, you can, it is the easiest boiler I've ever installed. And I can say that from experience.
No, I really like that. And I tried to get our main tech, Dave Wolf, on this, but he started at 6 this morning on a job, and I know he's been hot into it. So he wasn't able to make it. But in the future, I'll definitely get him involved. He's one of our main installers, and he's pretty good with working on boilers. So this one, I think he's really going to like.
Yeah, personally, I actually have installed one of these units in my home. And one of the extra benefits is it is the quietest boiler by far of anything I've ever seen out there. Now, guys know I've worked on thousands.
This is no, it's a good point, John. It is very quiet. It is a very quiet boiler. You're 100% right.
Gas, does it fire off?
No,
it's not
going to
fire off.
Hey, Pete, I hear
you. Yeah, we're trying to figure out how to do a camera. It's if you look, it's Victor, David, and Dick.
All right.
We're just trying to work off my smartphone. It's a beating.
It's working. We can see you.
Well, anyways, yeah, no, it's very informative. I think that would be our approach on any propane installs because we definitely struggled with the Aspen doing the conversion. So in this case, I think the Alto will probably serve a good purpose, especially out here because the propane is dirty.
Yeah, so it is.
I think this is it. My question is if you just have the combis right now, John, and so we can just cap off the domestic. There's no issues, or is there any type of?
Nope. You can just not. You can shut the three-way valve down. Tell the system you're not using the combi side of it, and basically it's a heat-only boiler. It's as easy as that.
Yeah, it will never come on because it's looking for a flow switch make. So no flow through it on the DHW side. It'll never turn on.
Okay. And if they decide to use it years down the road, are we concerned that there might be stuff that might be frozen or stuck, not being active?
So it's a good question. You can actually take that braze plate out without any tools. And so if you did want to do that, I would probably just recommend take the sides off, take the braze plate out. It's just a pump block. Take it out, run some vinegar through it, clean it all up, make sure all the parts that are need to be opening and closing are good, and you should be good to go. I haven't seen any issues with it, something freezing up, but I always tell guys, if you've had something that's been idle for 3, 4, 5 years, just, you can disconnect that block within 10 minutes. And take it out, dump it in a 5 gallon jug of vinegar, run some, and you'll be good to go. You shouldn't have any problems with it.
What about when you have an existing, like a retrofit, and there's an existing return, and you had an existing pump? Can you use an Aquastat off of it, or how would you apply that?
You could. Yep, you can. Absolutely.
Okay. What about if I tried to gain more redundancy out of it, and let's just say we had a 20 gallon electric water heater as a buffer, just to exit out, it'll still be active, but at least it gives us some capacity on a little bit larger scale home where it's right at the cusp.
So if you were using you could, it would just have to be through a third party controller to give you that, because you won't be able to control because it doesn't have the same control protocols as we use on US boiler, but you could do it with an ancillary product. Just go to the 0 to 10 and use that as your control output, and then you could have that as a redundancy by just when the switch calls, you'd be able to use that as a secondary heat or whatever you needed to, but you could.
So let me ask you this. If you have that electric water heater plugged in, you said you have it set for 120 coming out of the combi boiler into the cold outlet to basically replenish it as it's basically getting used. So it'll sense flame. So it'll give us that capacity inside that electric water heater. I've done that at my house, just shits and giggles.
It's a matter of having that ancillary controller, making sure that you're doing that. But yeah, the boiler will do it, no problem. It's just because you've got the control outputs with the 0 to 10s or what. There's some low voltage connections there. There's some auxiliary pump controls too that you can basically assign what you want it to do. So once you've done that, you can then use the ancillary controller to control just what you just explained.
Okay, all right, thank you.
Good. Yep.
Anything on the condensate, you know, as far as anything out of the ordinary, is it just like
nothing out of the ordinary? It's obviously at the bottom of the boiler. I'm trying to see if I have a picture. Let me see if I can find a picture of the bottom of the boiler. Hang tight a minute here. But no, there's nothing unique, no changes. It is protected. So the nice thing about the actual where the condensate is located. I'm trying to see if I have a picture of the very bottom of the boiler. I don't know if I do.
I seem to remember it has a built-in trap.
Yes. And it's recessed. So let me pull up. Let me see here. So
you just need to go out with it.
I don't have unfortunately I don't have a picture of it, but yeah, it's recessed. So it's protected. So from if you set the boiler on the ground, you're not worried about damaging any of the condensate at the bottom of the boiler itself. So there, it's protected, but it's your standard condensate trap assembly. But it is recessed and it is protected, so you don't have any issues or concerns about damaging it or it breaking off. Because I know that is an issue with some.
So it's kind of like the Alpine, where it's all recessed inside.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, you're correct. Yep. Okay. Similar layout.
All right. Well, thank you.
All right. So good. Thank you, Pete. We got. Paul with Pascon, do you want to say anything? Or George?
Guys, if you have questions, John's got my contact. Obviously, John knows a lot about boilers. So he can, and if he doesn't, he can certainly call me. But, you guys can feel free to reach out to me anytime and ask any question that you have. We're here. Happy to answer any questions you guys might have. We love the fact that you guys are interested enough to want to put one of these in. I think you're going to be very excited and happy when you do it, because like I said, it's an easy boiler to install and it's really a great time saver. And I think you guys are going to be pleasantly surprised, hearing the talking head on the Zoom call tell you these things. But when you experience it firsthand, I think you'd be pretty excited about it.
I concur. It is one of the easiest boilers I've ever put my paws on. So. Take it from John. Take it from Bryce.
Take it from John.
All right. Well, thank you all. It's about 8:00, do touch base with us when you have a chance to get your pricing and all set up. And we do have some 136s combis in stock, and with some 200s on their way, and more combis coming, 136s. All right. Well, thank you all very much for attending the U.S. Boiler. Alta presentation. Thank you again, Bryce.
Yeah, my pleasure, guys. You guys have a great rest of the week. Appreciate you spending the time, and thank you for your business, everybody.